everybody. Welcome to the Envision Podcast, the XCast. And today we have a really special episode, big topic, creativity. Where does it come from? What do you do with it? How can you find some? So we have a guest coming on, a very dear friend of mine from back in the day. But first, I want to bring in my co-host and my colleague at Envision, Val Yonkov. Hey, Val.
Hey, Doug, not your good friend from back in the day, but happy to be here co-hosting with you.
Indeed. And someday we'll look back on this as the golden.
And laugh. It'll be great.
So we got to talking, and the reason we're here is you and I do a lot of the same things, but we come from such different backgrounds. And we got talking about where does creativity come from? And for me, I came out of theme parks. I did a little TV. I do a lot of writing. I do design, and that's what informed my creative. But what about you?
Yeah, I came from the theater world, as many people in our industry do. Not the improv side, the true musical theater performance world. That's actually how I stumbled into this business we call corporate show, and like to infuse that as much as I can with what we do every day.
Next time.
I'm next XCast.
I mentioned a very special guest. And so one of the things that really drives my inspiration is the people I know. And John Massey, who is coming on here. John and I go back many moons. Hey, John.
Hi, buddy.
I'm going to brag on you for a second because I still am inspired by you. And the first time I met you was in Vegas many moons ago. We got together to brainstorm about doing a video for IBM about them at the Olympics. Somehow we started talking about the shape and the size of candy. And the next thing I know, you're on the table and you're going off about Skittles. And I thought, this guy is creative. And after that, we did videos for Intel that you did hand drawings for. That piece for Michael Dell at CES was, I think brilliant. And again, 100% your creative genius. So I still think about you, and I know you've done so many more things. And so give us a little background about where, you know, your creative spirit comes from.
Wow. Well, I'm going to send you a check for that lovely introduction. And okay. I do remember all those projects. I mean, that was so fun. They're high watermarks in a crazy career because we had so much fun doing it. It's difficult really to describe my creative life and my career because everything I did informed the next move I made. I started in apparel. And before that, as a passion project, I was in a rock band. I was doing theater. I was up on stages as lead. And then we kind of, I fell into the advertising world, the marketing world. Somebody saw me do some storyboard work. Next thing I knew, I was working with you and in corporate. I got into the Cirque du Soleil world. I was sent off to France, Japan. I went all over the world. I got into industrial design, animation, and I can trace every step that I've taken in my career, but I don't know how I got there. I just know that it was a true kind of life. So, I mean, if you had to describe me, I guess it would be a creative person, basically.
Well, and I'm gonna drop some names for you because you're much too graceful of a gentleman. But I mean, you've worked with Steve Wynn, you've worked with Franco Jerigone at Cirque, you've worked with Sting, you were creative director at Skechers for years, designing
shoes. Wow, everybody, watch your feet, names are dropping. Careful.
Look out, man, here comes the humble brag. Here comes the humble brag.
But given all that, we're dealing with a creative individual here. And so, Val, where do you want to go with this?
Well, you set me up beautifully for something I always want to ask people just like yourself, John, of what does it mean to be a creative? You know, you mentioned you've worked across so many different industries, you've tackled so many different projects, you know, a creative director. It's become a catch-all title across any industry you can think of. So what does it mean for yourself and your work that you do to be a creative?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. It's so we joke about that often where you go to a meeting, everyone's like, I'm Tad, creative director, Susan, creative director, Joey, creative director. And that also confuses me because my definition of being a creative comes from a very immature place. It's that kind of essence that I'm actually thinking creatively about creative. I'm making up a world. I'm making up an idea, and it's play. It's play and it's fun, and people lean into things that are fun and engaging. And they lean away sometimes from things when it's medicinal, facts and figures. We're just trying to communicate. And there's so many different ways you can do it. You know, whether it's stage, whether it's film, whether it's music, whether it's a book. I like to express all those parts of my life. And I'm fortunate, so far that, people find what I do as a creative, valuable.
Everyone is creative. I mean, yeah. No matter what you do, everyone has creativity. How do you take that energy and synthesize it and bring out what you do? Because again, if you're sitting in a meeting with 10 people, everyone's going to have an idea about, you know, which shade of blue this should be. How do you stand above all that?
Over time, I've learned to listen. And I want to find the person that I can play tennis with, because there are things that I can do in a vacuum, which is fine. Composition is a lonely task. Illustration is lonely. Brainstorm, ideating, coming up with a grand concept is playing tennis. So it is equal amount listening, and then finding that when the ball comes to you, you can put some spin on it, and you want to hit it back to someone who's reciprocal in that same spirit.
A lot of what you've talked about is you're bringing your passion into it by infusing what you're doing with what you care about. And I think that's my personal definition of what it means to be a creative.
Yeah, you got it. You have to be curious. You're absolutely right. I mean, you sit in a meeting and the client's selling you a widget and you're not excited about a widget, but something in that is going to trigger something that's instantly relatable. That's all creative is, right? The best stand-up comics talk, you know, how about waiting in line to get on the plane? And then everyone's like, oh my gosh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
That's all it is, no matter what the topic is. So when that business meeting is taking place and it's just so medicinal, you kind of have to get in there early and say, look, what floats your boat, you know, and not say it in such a way that you're turning off. Obviously you're reading the room, but you know, you can draw a little bit of essence. Cause if they say, go away and be creative, I'm like, challenge accepted. Right. No one wants to play tennis. Do not be surprised with what you get back.
But I think it is that passion piece. Like I've had clients that are so resistant to do some things. I had a client that just wanted an opening moment, but they wanted the spectacle, and it's a tech company and they want dogs jumping through hoops. And like, what's the latest America's Got Talent? And I'm like, why does your audience care about that? Like, what is that getting to for your messaging? And I pivoted pretty hard on a media piece that had a spoken word component to it. Passionate about writing, spoken word, that personal delivery. And they just couldn't get behind it. But I was so passionate about it. I think that's what got it over the line. And it was very successful. And they were like, we can't believe this worked. This was amazing. And it's like, okay, well, great. We're starting somewhere. But if I didn't have that passion and what I was selling to them, they never would have bought it. And we would have backed to dogs and hoops.
Correct. So there's the Robert Greenberg, the CEO of Skechers, and Franco Dragone both echo the same thing. And that's you sell yourself first and what you do second. That's what Rob would say. But Franco would say, John, we like real people. And this came from, here comes the story. Eventually, the work that we did became Sting's The Last Ship. But the first design sprint that we had was done in La Louvière, Belgium. I was there for 6 weeks. And it was just just a free-for-all, coming up with abstract ideas, concepts, character designs, costume designs, plot points, just all kinds of phenomenal things until I had 110 illustrations up on a massive corkboard. And Sting was there and he got stuck looking at my artwork. And I'm not really a starstruck person, but it's Sting and the Police. And yeah. I kept on getting that weird, like handshaky lump in my throat thing that I don't usually get. And Franco, he's next to me, he's nudging me. And he goes, John, he's looking at your artwork. Go talk to him. And I'm like, dude, it's Sting. And he says, John, he is just a person. We like real people. People like people. Go talk to him. And that lesson stuck with me. But the execution of it wasn't exactly how I went as planned. I walked up to him and I had drawn this picture of this character with his head in his hands. He was staring at this doodle that I did, this pencil drawing. And he was like, this is really, you did this. This is really brilliant. He was like, it reminds me a bit of William Wallace, William Blake. It reminds me a bit of a William Blake piece. And he was staring at this and he had just complimented me into my work. So I nudged him and said, you play pretty good bass. That's what I told him.
And I also think more than any other discipline in, you know, corporate or any kind of entity, creatives need to be willing to be wrong in order to get it right. So, and you've got to give me a little bit of, you know, room here to sort of take you in a direction that you've never thought of going. And ultimately, it may not be the right direction, but I bet we're going to get a whole lot closer to something that makes all of us happy and makes something effective if you let me be a little bit wrong now and again.
You nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. There's Gary Zukav's book on quantum physics, The Dancing Wu Li Masters. One of the definitions of Wu Li is the Chinese sentence, I do not clutch my ideas. And that's something that took me a while to learn. When we go in a wrong direction and a client says, it's not working for me, I don't defend my creative. I don't get defensive. I don't flip out. You know what I say? I said, this made such progress because now we know what we don't want to do. Such a relief to me. And I'm a constant optimist. I mean, I roll out of bed. What am I going to do today? That's sort of beaten into my ego, is that I'm just excited to do things.
What advice do you have for, you know, folks coming up who say, hey, I want to be creative. I want to show my creativity. I want to express myself.
There are so many young creatives that are coming up and, you know, they're calling themselves storytellers or digital creators, or they're giving themselves these titles. They're fantastic at doing these social media campaigns. I mean, there's editing, there's music, there's soundtrack, and they want to sort of graduate, move this into another realm of business. So I encourage people to specialize, to find that place where this is me. My father told me a long time ago also, you know, no one draws Picasso like Picasso. I saw a Picasso painting and I said, Dad, I could do that. And he said, don't ever let anyone hear you say that outside of me, because you sound like a dummy. Get to the point where you can say, nobody does John Massey like John Massey. And then that's why I think my phone always rings, because I think people are like, let's get that goofball. And that's, I think, what creatives should learn, is that you need to be your own person and find your own place where you can set up a camp by yourself. Don't go to where it's packed. Don't rush to that big, crazy city, man, because you're just going to get walked over.
John, I hear you on that advice to younger creatives of like, find your voice and get out of the sea of sameness and define yourself. I think that's the hardest thing for kids these days to do, especially with how mired we are in social media and all the things. And I think it just goes back to what we said at the top of this, the beginning of our conversation of, you know, finding the things you really care about and you're really passionate about. And I would just... I know this is such a cliched question. It's hard to answer. It's whatever, but I think it could help younger creatives like myself, if I can say that, and others listening. You know, how do you fuel your creativity? What do you do? What's your process? Not like I have a project, I'm going to sit down with a pencil, but it's like, I'm burnt out. I can't think about this anymore. What am I doing to go fill that well, fuel the creativity?
I don't think too severely. I don't force creative. It kind of happens. And I mean, if you are completely burnt out, it comes back to you. It is a muscle. So it's like, stop, go for a walk. Don't look at media. Trust your brain. You know, oh, I'm never going to have a creative idea again. Go for a walk. It really comes back to you. Because if you're forcing it, desperation's a stinky cologne. But those are the two things. It's in your brain already. Go away. Well, it's three things. And play tennis with your client. Hit the ball back. We mentioned earlier that they're creative people too. And they are. They're going to give you something that's going to turn on that light bulb.
So, John, everyone is creative. Everyone's got a definition of what a story is and how to tell a story. There's a poet, Ben Oakley, who says, where there's perfection, there is no story. So that's what I try to work with my clients on, saying, show the audience where we are, show them what the stakes are, what their role can be. And then finally we can deliver, you know, on that story.
The old paradigm of business communications was, I'm going to tell you why you need our product, right? That was the advertising. Buy a Volvo. They're boxy, but good, right? I'm giving you the message and the story, and you're going to sit there and listen to it. And the new language is the company has to quiet their mouth and let the audience tell them what their product means to them. And that is a vulnerable place, but that is the new business model. And that is, I agree with you. I don't know if I have an answer for it. I just know that you're absolutely correct, is that you have to let the public tell you what they think of your product. And then there's a conversation. When you lose control of the message, you open up a conversation, and ultimately you get better messaging. So I think that's right, right?
Yeah. I think it's right. I think it's definitely longer than 30 seconds.
John Massey, this was fantastic talking to you. Thank you for all the goodness that you shared with us. Val, any last words?
Thank you, John, for being with us today.
Val, great to talk to you. Doug, great to see you again.
There you go. And folks, check in on our next Envision podcast, the XCast. And John, I think this is the first of many conversations we're going to have with creatives. And again, thank you for all the stuff you've shared. And thanks for being a good friend for the last years.
Right back at you. Thanks for having me. And I'm going to tune in and watch what you do next.
All right. Bye, all.